Doyaway, Northwest London, Monday, Hey Shvat, 18th of January, Rav Dudi Rosenberg, Did Deve Precede Borod?
Right. The complete set of makas are essentially brought through to this week's sedra, and consequently the association between Vuairo and Boy brings them through to a climax of makas b'chayres, which concludes the 10 of the makas. So I hope I'll be forgiven if we're going to flip back towards Parshas Vuairo. You need a chumash. You need a chumash. Sorry, I handed them out before. And we'll bring you, firstly, to a range of seven kashas, which I have on this range of psukim, starting with Parsha Tes, Pusik Yud Aleph. There, we're speaking about the Mak of Shechin, and Pusik says as follows, V'lo yochlu achatumem lamoid lifnei Moshe. The conjurers, the magicians, could not stand in front of Moshe, mipnei Hashchin, because they had boils. Because the Shechin was on the Chatumim. I don't know if it strikes you strangely, but to me there's a certain amount of Chomoyre, superfluous part of the Pusik. Let's read it again. Of course, the Chatumim couldn't stand for Moshe because they had Shechin on them. Because Kihoyu Hashchin Bachatime. A bit schwer, no? No, not only because of that. If you say that the Chatumim couldn't stand in front of Moshe because they had Shechin, because the Shechin was on the Chatumim. Well, obviously, if they couldn't stand because they had Shechin on him, obviously the Shechin was on the Chatumim. A push at the kash. Second. Pusik says in Yidalet, Ki bapam azois. On this occasion, Ani Sholeach es kol magefoisa elipu, all my plagues into your heart. Yivavodechu v'amechu. So the question over there is, why does it say the words el lipcho? None of the Egyptians were referred to as having a cardiac arrest or defibrillators or anything like this. In which case, why is the word el Lipcho mentioned? It seems to be something which is Mo'ore Devurim Shebelev, something that was going on inside their minds. That is the second question. The third question would be, on the very same Pusik on Yudalad, it says, Ani Shalech es kol magefoisai el Lipcho. And this is a difficult Rasha that all the Mefarshim were grappling with, which says, in Yidalad Rasha says, Lomadnu, from Kol Magei Foisai, we have learned, Shemakas B'choyrois Shekulo Keneged Kol Hamakos. That Kol Magei Foisai equates to the total of, so to speak, of all the Makos together, and the intensity of that culminated in Makos B'choyrois. Now, number one, we're not up to Makos B'choyrois. At this stage, we're up to Makas Burot. And number two, if you want to explain the Rashi as some do, that it doesn't read Bechoyrois, but it reads Bekurois, as in the Lushan of Bekirin, that this was a Makkah that actually attacked the very food source of Egypt and that left them without any sustenance, then you want to understand, so then why is Burot so much more than all the other makas that it's described as kol makifoisai, more the dams, vadaya, kinim. So, as you can see, Sifser HaChomim is Marach and Klei Yuka is Marach, but we won't have time for that. I'm just mentioning that the Kol Makei Foisai is the essence of this question, why we mention Makas B'choyros at this point. The fourth question, Ki Atu Shulachti Es Yudi, which brings us to Pusik Tes Vuv, which is the next one. Now I've extended my arm, so to speak, V'ach Oyscho Ve'es Amcho Bateve, and I have smitten you and your nation with pestilence, Vatikuchet. Now, I don't know, in my Chumash, the last Makkah before this is, I believe, Shchil. And consequently, the Pusik goes back and says, V'ach Oyscho Ve'es Amcho Baduve, Zashtikl Pirche. You with me, gentlemen?
No.
Sorry. It's a bomb of cash. He's saying to you now, Ki atu, right now, Shulachti es yudi, I have just extended my hand and I have smitten you with which makkah?
Devil.
That's not right. The last makkah was not devil. Kashin, huh?
Yep.
This is perplexing. Profoundly perplexing. But you know how it is, with Mavased, we go through it year by year and wait, there may be light at the end of the tunnel. And finally, which is a he'ura, it's not really a kasha, that the fact that the Shechin was administered, so to speak, by two palms of Aharon HaKohen, two fistfuls of Moshe Rabbeinu, combined together, and then thrown as a soot over the entire domain of Mitzrayim and affected the complete nation. Every one of the makas was administered with a mate or by Vayet Moshe, Yudoy. And what was so strange, that this maka had to be with soot in the hands of Moshe. He was handling it and he had to throw it so that it dispersed across the entire country. Why? Okay, so we go over the questions. By the way, before we do, I'll just mention that the whole Pasha, if you look at it, it starts with a Samach. I don't know if you got it in all the Chamushim, but after Pusikid Beis, there is a Psik, like a new insert of some Psukim, which culminate just by Shri, and then the Makkah of Bura is introduced by Oitchom Mistoileil Ba'ami. So, I'm just going over very briefly so that we can encapsulate the essence of the questions. First one was, this is also a Shvire Kasha, which was in Pusigit Aleph, V'lo yachlu ha-chatumim lamad lifnei Moshe b'nei ha-shchin. They couldn't stand because of Shchin. Kyo ha-shchin le-ba-chatumim. Well, obviously, if they couldn't stand in front of Moshe because they had Shchin, then the Shchin was on the Chatumim. So, stands to reason. Second question was,
the Shechin go away?
No, the Shechin didn't go away. The Shechin was very, very much part of them. It was in them. And they couldn't stand in front of Moshe because they were riddled with it. The second question was, why does it say El Libcho? What's it got to do with the heart? What's this Vum Shebelev? Third question was, why is it Kol Magei Foisai? So we learn from here that Makas Bechoyros Shkulu Keneget Kol HaMakos. Number one, wie kommt der Ran, Makas Bechoyros, at this point? We're speaking about Burot. And the second point is that even if you did read it as Bakuros, and we're speaking about that it's really Bikurim because the Burot affected the first thing, then the question is, in which way was that so overwhelmingly different that it's Kol Magei Foisai on Burot? So Lechoyret really is referring to Makas Bechoyros. Fourth question was, which is a very difficult question. He says, I just now have smitten you with Deve when it wasn't the case. Last Makkah was, in fact, Shchin. Oh. And the next question was, why the Makkah of Shchin would have to be administered by hand as opposed to a Mate Elikim, which was fine and useful for all the other Makkahs. Are we clear? Okay, so
you
far.
You left off to ask question five.
I did it because it's not really a question.
But
Our Mishmer, question 5 is really something I forgot to delete, but it's essentially that it says in the Pusik, V'ulam ba'avizoyshem ad ticho, which means that the Rabbeinu Shlolem is saying that I have kept you here in order to show my strength about the sheer might of the Rabbeinu Shlolem, which was manifest through the Makos. And therefore the question is, why would it be mentioned specifically here, the Inyan of Ribui, Kvoid, Shomayim, at this point, when in fact Dams, Fadea, Kinim, etc., 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 were all manifestations of Ribui, Kvoid, Shomayim? And why is this particularly inserted here by Vezois Hemadatichu, as if to say, I've kept you around for this purpose? Okay, so let's try and introduce, if I may humbly suggest, the following isod. The first 5 makris, which would be Dam, Tzvadaya, Kinem, Ura, Deva, yeah, are all affecting the Mitzriyim externally, which means Dam withheld their drinking source, because now they have absolutely no liquids which are drinkable, and everything in the reservoirs has become contaminated, which is something which affects them because they haven't got what to drink. So it's something from outside. Svadeya bit, salted them, even came into the bodies, but essentially the maka was that they were biting them, hurting them. And this again is something which is an external force. Kinim, rest on the surface of the skin, bit them and agitated them. But again, it's an external force which is there to upset, to give pain, and to give cause them discomfort. Uroif, once again, wild animals mauled them, frightened them, and were rampant in an area which was a place where there were only domesticated animals, which also turned wild. Again, an external force. Deve was purely a monetary loss. Again, something which has caused them tremendous aggravation, because millions of animals just suddenly, like the pictures in the Baby Agudas, you know, where they suddenly all turn upside down with their legs in the air, and in the morning you get up, and then all the livestock of Mitzrayim is lifeless, and so millions and billions of pounds of livestock have now met their demise. And now comes along another makkah. And this makkah is called Shechin. And Shechin is completely different, because before we go further, we have to understand that the Chatumim, the conjurers, were the epitome of kafira. Their denial of God was absolute. And I'll prove it to you. The Rebbein Shalom made makkas dam. The dam which the Rebbein Shalom gave was drunk in a cup, where an Egyptian drank from one straw and he drew blood. The Yid drank from the same cup because they tried to get it on the cheap, and he drank water. And then again the blood came, Eitzim Vavunim, came out of the pillars according to the Midrushim. Moiradikanism. This was not the case with the water which the Egyptians have bought for a few bob in order to abracadabra it into blood. So there was a distinct difference. Same was with Tzvadeya. The Tzvadeya of the Rebbein Shloilem was this Tzvadeya Achas Hoysu, this enormous frog, which was never created by the conjurers. And similarly, that the Tzvadeim defied what would be considered a normal natural phenomenon simply by entering ovens and being moistened nefesh themselves in order to do the will of the Rebbein Shloilem. This was not the case with the Tzvadeim, which were created by the conjurers. And so they knew from the word go that this is a force way beyond anything that has anything to do with black magic. Came Kinim, and suddenly they became good boys, and they say, "Woi, etzpa lekimhi." You know why they said that? Not because they had this great deep recognition that there is a reboira oilo, that because it was puchas mikas oilo. And so everybody turned around to the conjurers and they say, "No, mach. Nee knacke, let's see what you can do." And they're busy with the incantations and the magic expressions, and nothing was happening. You know why? Because they can't. And they say, you know what? This is surely something which belongs to the Rebbein Shlomo. But this is really a kfire. It doesn't mean there was a recognition here. It was, as long as I can pull the wool over your eyes, I shall continue to do so. As long as I can deceive you into thinking that this is a magical phenomenon, I will continue to do so. But now I'm foxed. So therefore, there's nothing I can do. And I say, Etz Pa'elekimi. So therefore, going along with that, we realize one thing, that the magicians and the chatumim were watching very carefully the repetition of forces that on the face of it were all external, because dam was coming from outside, so was Sfadea, so was Kinim, so was Deve, and Uroiv as well. But now they say, he is very capable, this force which is coming from above is very dangerous, but so far I am I, and the force is over there, and it's attacking me from outside. But they, or whatever it is, that this force, that there is this supernatural force, has not yet got an ability of permeating within me. It's not something that can penetrate my body. And lo and behold, came the Makkah of Shechin, and the conjurers, and necromancers, and magicians all emerged, covered in their entire body, from top to toe, in boils. Painful boils. But more than painful, they were humiliating, and they absolutely shamed the chatumim in a way that the Heilige Ramban mentions in Pusikit Aleph. You haven't got a copy of it, I'll just read it for you briefly. This is the Lushan of the Ramban. Boishu, they were embarrassed. V'ikolmu, and they were humiliated. V'chofu roisham, and they hung their heads in shame. B'hiyoysom meleim shchim, because they were covered, top to toe, in boils. V'lo yochlu malet nafshom, and there was nothing they could do to save themselves. Alkei, therefore, says the Heilige Ramban, loy bohu b'heichal ha-melech, they did not wish to enter the palace of the king, because the king would say, no, where's your ability to get out of this one? You're covered in it just like me. Neither did they walk in the streets. Something which is very familiar to us, because the last line of the Ramban refers to quarantine. They were locked up at home, absolutely quarantined from everybody else, because they could not face the humiliation of being covered in Shechin, because Shechin manifested the new koyach. There the Rebbein Shalom has actually taken, governed and dominated and shown authority over their bodies. So Shechin is very different. So now, understanding that, we can explain the Pusik differently. Question one was, why couldn't the Chatumim stand in front of Moshe? There was a very good reason for that. Because they were covered in boils. Because the Shechin was actually manifest in the Chatumim. They were covered with it. And how could they show their face, these people who defied the godless of the Ribbono Shel Olam and the omnipotence of the Boire Olam, when they themselves are covered in their own skin from top to toe with Shechin? Question number one, sorted. Question number two. We asked, Kibar Zois, Ani Shalech is Kol Magifoisa El Libcho. The question was, why El Libcho? Why is it something to do with Devurim Shebelev? And the answer to that is that we have to examine the Rasha which is brought there in Pusik Tesvuf. And Rashi in Tesvuf says the following. If you've got the Chumash in front of you, I'll read it to you. Ki atu shalachtu es yudi, Rashi says, ki ili rutzisi, if I would have wanted to, ki shahoyso yudi b'miknecho, when I decimated all your animals and they became lifeless in a moment, shehi keisim adeva, because I smote them with pestilence. Shelachtiho, vehikesi oischo, Ve'ez amcho im abahaimas. There was very, very little in it for me to now go and wipe out the population of Egypt in one fell swoop. If I can decimate and kill all the animals, what's to stop me to kill and to destroy the Egyptians too? If it's a question of taking away life, what's in the Goyse Chochmah if you can do it to the animals? You can do it to the humans. And that is what was ticking over in the Egyptian psyche. That's what was worrying them. And that's the Lushan, Kiba Pama Zois, Unoichi Shaleches, Kol Magifoisai Elipcho, because Rebbein Shalom says, I know what was going through your mind in the Dvurim Shebelev. What was worrying you? What was concerning you? That you suddenly recognized, if he can do it to the animals, he can do it to us. Which brings us to number three. Because number three was a question of, Es kol magefoisai means all my makas, which is referring to makas b'cholos. Yes, it's referring to makas b'cholos. You know why? Because the only other makas that actually befell and was manifest on the bodies of the Egyptians was makas b'cholos. And that's taka when the Ribbono Shel Olam did destroy the bodies in the entirety in a split second, kachatzoyis alayla. And b'mayle es kol magefoisai es b'madni mikan. At this point, the Ribbono Shel Olam was saying, makas b'choyrois shkulo keneged kol hamakos. I know what's going through a lipcho, and I'm saying to you now, yeah, it's going to happen. Not when you want it to, because I'm not finished yet. It's going to be a couple of makas beforehand, but in the meantime, I'm warning you that the fleeting thoughts that are going through El Lipcho, which are going through your mind, are actually going to happen. When? Kol magefoisai. Chapnesh. It's going to happen by makas b'choyres. And then I'm going to kill you. Yeah. Just like you worried about. But not yet. Which answers question number three. Number four, we asked, so the very, very strong question we asked, which was quite profound, that the last makkah was not in fact Deve, but the last makkah was in fact Shchin. So why does he say Ki Atu Shulachti? So the answer is to that because the association of that thought of a lipcho, which you spoke about, that you were worried about when the animals were killed, that was shaykh to Deve, and that's what Rashi is speaking about. Ki ili rutzisi, ki shahoysu yudi b'miknachu shei keisim b'deve, shelachtiu v'keisi oischo. Stressing once again that was the concern of the Egyptians, watching all the animals being wiped out in a second. What's to stop this power, this strong, almighty power, from doing exactly the same to human beings? And that's what's stressed in the Pusik. That it means that's what we are referring to, the Makas Deve, as in killing life. Finally, the last question, which we spoke about, okay, which is very good, which Yaakov mentioned we should include. Why does it say it here, that I have kept you alive in order to demonstrate my strength? That's exactly so. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam said to the Mitzrayim, through Moshe, that you should know, it's taka to what you're worried about being killed physically and being wiped off the face of the earth, as you were during the makkah of Makas Bechoyres, that will happen, but only when I'm ripe and ready for it. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I still want Gilui Hashem and Gilui Kvod Shemayim, and for the world and you to know that there is an almighty strength out there that will still punish you, and I'm not ready for Makas Bechoyres. And for Ulam Ba'avizoyseim Adatichu, I've kept you around waiting for this so that I can still perform three very important Makas. Burad is yet to come, Choshech is yet to come, and Arba is yet to come, and all those three are not only then, and only then will I bring Makas Bechoyres. And then, if I may, humbly suggest that perhaps the reason that the Makov Shechin was taka introduced through a tactile physical way, where Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon HaKohen both had to have their hands full, four hands full, introduced into Moshe's hands, Nes Mitoch Nes, risen to the heights of the skies and thrown a suit above, was to show that there was something very much associated with the skin. And therefore it had to be handled to show this Makkah is going to be different to the rest. The others were distant. There was a Mater, there was the Teyes Yotcho, detached. This one is going to be some which you're going to recognize for the first time. This is going to, I'm going to get, as they say in English, under your skin. And I'm going to affect your entire body with boils, that you'll know that it's not just a dominion over a distant force which can affect pain from an external way, but this is going to be something which is going to hit you right inside your body, and the same way that Makkas Bocheiros is. And so, if we go through all the questions, I think we've answered them now. We had there. Number one, the Chatumim couldn't stand in front of Chatimim, because the Chatimim were, in fact, humiliated to such an extent that they realized now that the Ribbono Shel Olam had the dominion over the very physique. Number two, Kibbeh Parmazos HaNeshecha Lipcho, because it was something which was distinctly a Lipcho, because the Ribbono Shel Olam was mind-reading the Egyptian nation by saying, I know what you're worried about, and it's going to happen. And then again, the next question is about Kol Magifoisa. Yes, it's going to happen when? By Makas Bechoyrois. That's when you are going to really feel the sting, and I'm going to wipe you out, and therefore it's going to be Dafke Makas Bechoyrois, which is introduced then. Fourth question was, for Ach es Oischov es does about Deve, because Deve was the time when Rashi stresses so clearly that that was the fleeting thoughts that went through their mind at that time, that they were worried that the same koyach that can wipe out livestock can wipe out humanity. Then the next one, Ulam Bazois Hamadaticho, the Ribbono Shel Olam saying, yes, I am going to do just what you worried about, but only when I'm ripe and ready, and that's going to be my Makas Bechoyrus. Up until then, hang around, guys, because I'm not finished with you yet. There's still another Burot, there's still Arba, and there's still Choshech, and only then will come Makas Bechoyrus. And finally, we understood why the hands were there, as opposed to the mate on the other Makos. And so I'll just, it is today, the Yoime, the Helile, and the Heiliges Versemes, in the last concluding minute, just mention the fact that the Ileman Tesape Be'ozne Bincho, which brings us back to Pasha's boy, that the Inyan which we do of Sipetius Mitzrayim is Leman Tesape Be'ozne Bincho Iven Bincho. The Heiliges Fasema says people go through difficulties, they go through Engschaften, they go through Schwierigkeiten, they're oppressed, and they find that they not coping so well with the situation. And that's the matzav of gulus. And to go to chayres, you have to sometimes feel that gulus. That's why we eat the mura, in order to actually experience the chayres, you have to feel the bitterness first. But it's a klal, in the same way that every single morning and every single day we recite all the korbunas, toidu, chatos, etc. Because there's a klal. Somebody who is busying himself with the study of a korban, it's as if he's actually sacrificed this korban. And so today we've spent an abundant amount of time just being ma'ayan in the gulas, the makas, and understanding the depth of what Eden went through and what happened to the mitzvah as well. So we have been oisik in the parsha of gulas, mit dem so mehuben yutzi gewesen, the chauve of gulas, and we should be zeuche to a ge'ile shleim et mehaire b'yamein. Shkaif. Ausgehalten.